receive from you and put to work, Lord, the words that you have given us, your word, God's word, the word that can empower our life and give us victory in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we've been looking at praising and how that, praising the Lord, and how that impacts our results with that, for our interaction with God. And it's the impact is mostly in the fact that we change our attitude and our position in a positive way, in a way that reflects really a closeness and trust in the Lord. What we are expressing is confidence that what he is going to do, that what he has done, and what he wants for us is good, and we trust him. So that is the basis of faith. So if we are talking about faith, we have to talk about, you know, the way we are going to be feeling, acting, thinking, and responding to what our expectations are. If our expectations are positive, then we are going to have positive feelings. Okay. So we talked a bit about, for a couple of weeks about that. I'm going to have another scripture to just refer to that. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Start, you know, whom, we're just talking about Jesus. Jesus, and whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And so this is the thing that, you know, this is the response that we have about connecting with the idea and relating to Jesus and what he has done. Okay? We believe. Okay, and because even if we don't see him, okay, and says, and you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So you see, when there is disbelief in us that is positive, then there is going to be, no matter what the situation is, we are going to be feeling positive and joyful. Okay. And if you see the following part of the verse, verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You see, this is what brings about the receiving, because we are in a receiving mood. We are in a receiving attitude. We are trusting God, opening ourselves up for him, and automatically we become recipient of what he wants to give us. You see, we to be able to receive from God, we have to be open to what he wants to do with us. And this opens up the door in our hearts and in our mind to receive what he has done. Now, it says the salvation of our soul. You see, we are talking about believers, not talking about somebody that's going to get saved. In the terms that we generally use, is the salvation of our soul, is the fact that this our soul is being changed and made free so that we can actually receive from it. So you see, the salvation of our soul enables us to receive all the other things that we need to receive from God. Okay? So with that, you know, really, it's dealing with starting to deal with the mindset that is connected with faith. Okay. There is a mindset, something that we have a position we take inside. Now, if we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, talks about that our mind. And our mind has to be changed to be able to receive things from God. You know, so let's read the moment that we're going to spend a few minutes on this and then move on. But says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the idea here is telling us, you know, that our mind has to be changed. Okay? And it's up to us to do that. See, God is not going to change our mind. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord, what happens is that, you know, we made that decision, and that was decision through our mind. You see, again, the door of our salvation is through our mind. But when we made that decision, that was because we trusted what we heard. We trusted the word that we heard. And so as a consequence of that, our spirit was born again. Okay? So there was a big... See, that's what the basis of that being born again was faith. Really trusting God that what he said was going to happen. Now, that's one of the components, but there is more there. Okay? And to do all the other part is that God does not change our mind. We are still in control of our mind, and we had to work with our mind so that it lines up with God. Not only our mind, but also our body. You see, they are still not completely free because our mind is still influenced or has recorded in itself, you know, all the information that they got before from the world. So our mind is still influenced or conformed to this world. And that's not changed by the fact that we are born again. Now our spirit desires and wants to, for us, to start operating in the way God wants us to. But our mind creates an opposition. And so we need to take charge of that and renew it, so that we are no longer conformed to the world. And conformed to the world, you see, the thing is, it's not a very easy thing to do. Because our consciousness, our what you understand, the way you think, the way you have done things up to now, is all wrong. And you thought before that was right. And you don't know yet what's wrong and what's right. So the only way to find out what's wrong and what's right is to go to the Word of God and see your thoughts, if they line up with the Word of God, and then scrap some stuff that's there that you assumed that was right. And you are going to find out that there is lots of stuff that you need to scrap. And many times, you know, after a long time that you've been saved, you find out things that, oh my goodness, that's wrong. I didn't even know it. So you're the difficult part. There are two components there. There is the knowledge or the understanding what's right and what's wrong. They come from your spirit. Your spirit is there, you know, tickling, you know, your conscience is working inside there trying to show you. But, you know, if you don't have the information, your mind works on information. And so, you know, your spirit can be there putting red flags, but, you know, we are so used to sometimes we just shut them off. Okay, maybe something is uncomfortable, but we don't know what's uncomfortable. Why? And so we had to get to the place where we find out, we get the information, and then there's another component. We are used to that, what we have been doing up to now. And we probably are pretty comfortable about it, probably may even enjoy it. And so we had to renounce to that and make a decision of will to say, no, I don't want this, I want what God wants. And so you see there is now, you know, the transformation that should be taking place in us instead of the conformation that we have. You have to conform to God. And that is a process that takes place. And as that takes place, then what happens is our thinking changes. That's where it starts. Then our feeling change. And then our behavior change. And then our body change. So, you know, because sometimes there are things that we need to understand to be able to receive the changes in the body. Okay, so there is a process there that just goes on. So you start, though, with the right thinking, the right mind. Okay, and so that is going to be the... How are you going to find out? How are you going to find out this, the problem, the areas that you had to change in your thinking? You know, I remember I had to change so many things because my parents weren't saved. And my, you know, where you grow, that is the example you get. And boy, I had to change everything, about everything. And takes time, it takes effort. Okay, but the point is, God is there wanting to help you to overcome, wanting to help you to find the ways. So what you do? Well, number one, you go to the Word and you see what you think. As you read, the Holy Spirit is going to quicken to you the Word so that it's going to show you, wait a minute, this doesn't fit with what I'm thinking here or doesn't fit with what I'm doing here. So that's one way in which you find out things that you had to change. The other way is that you see, generally, change is not spontaneous. Okay? Generally, the way we change is because we go through things that we are uncomfortable with, that bother us. They produce problem in our life. So because we get problem in our life, for example, relationships, okay, we got problem. Then we start seeking God about the situation and he start pointing out, wait a minute, the problem is not outside, it's inside there. Okay, and so we find out changes. The other way that we can do often is not done that way because, you know, what I said now is much more effective because stuff is bothering you. Okay. But when there is no stuff, it's bothering you, you can see people as like the life of other people. And you see the areas that they have problem with. And you see the way they think and act. And so from there, you can see areas that maybe, I'm thinking and doing the same thing that they do. And look, they have problems here. So you can learn from mistakes from other people. Although the best way, you know, the easiest way is to learn from your own mistakes. Okay, so that's where the transformation comes. And that's when we then realize the truth. The problem at that time is to start not just taking the truth, but to do something with it. You see, the transformation is when what we know, we implement. And so that goes in James chapter 1, verse 22. There says, you know, but be doers of the word. You see, we had to become doers of the word, not hearers only, otherwise we deceive yourself. You see, all the power that is in the word changes, you know, is released as we apply it to our life as soon as we figure it out. If we get used to that truth without doing anything, then it loses the power because we have been going around doing this and there is no reason for us to change. We don't want to change, and we lose the power of the anointing and the ability to implement the change and the transformation. Okay? Here in that chapter, James talks quite a bit about different things about that. You know, say, for example, you know, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing a natural face in the mirror. Okay, and as soon as he observes himself, he goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So you see, the word shows you the way you should be. And when you look into the Word, you see that yourself doing the right thing. But when you go away, your mind keeps thinking the way it thought before. See, there is no follow-up. There is no continuation of that image. And so you just fall back into the old route there. And so what happened is that, you know, you end up forgetting everything and losing the power and not being able to do anything. So, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, you see, talks about the law of liberty because that's the thing that sets you free from the bondage. The bondage of the wrong thinking. Okay? Because wrong thinking brings bondage, brings problem, brings limitations. Okay? Now, it's not a forgetful ear, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. So you see, the way to be blessed is actually to do what you see that you should be doing. God wants to bless us. When we obey him, we get blessed in whatever things he wants us to do. Okay? And then goes on saying, you know, this is not a general theological thing. It's a practical thing. You know, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this one religion is useless. So you see, one of the first thing that has to, one of the first product, one of the first results of this transformation is what we say. The way our tongue control is established by the decision that we made about doing what the Word says and being what the Word says and taking a position within ourselves so that we are not saying things contrary to the Word of God. Okay. Among other things, this is since we are talking about faith, you know, is that we start talking in agreement with God doing these things in us and believing, not just complaining and being there saying, I don't have it, I cannot do it. Okay? So you first control your thoughts, then control your behavior, control your talk, and then you end up seeing the transformation. So now we go expand in the new different areas. This still has to do with our thinking, still has to do with the way we look at things, but it's it has a different direction. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk, and this is a very short verse, but it's a very big impact on our walking and our understanding. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So here he's saying the faith is different from sight. Okay. Well, this is true to a certain degree because there is we see also things from faith. Faith is not blind. What he's talking about here that we walk by faith and not by sight because he's talking about walking. He's talking about external action. So if we are walk by faith and not by sight, means, for external action, we don't go by what we see. We don't go by the physical. That's the meaning he's here telling us. Okay, so we are believing what basically that verse means. Okay, well, really it means that we don't go by what we see or what our senses tell us, or what anybody says, or what we experience from the world, but we go by what the Word of God says. That's the basic meaning of that. And we're going to decide and expand on this. Okay. So the first things is that you have to realize that that is not the natural thing for us to behave or to respond. The natural man, the only thing it goes by sight. I mean, we are trained from when we are born to operate by sight, by our senses. See, our senses are the gate with to the external world. And because when we walk, we are dealing about action in this world, then this is the normal way that we learn to act and to do things. I mean, if something is hot, you know you have to pull, you know, your hand off, because if you see a car coming, you just move out of the way. Now, that is still valid. But you should, you know, there are areas in which the word and what the external sensation or external information is are in disagreement. And in this case, you had to exercise a decision, a choice, and choose the word to what you see in the world or what happens in the world. So this is not a natural way for natural men to operate. We need to learn to train ourselves to operate spiritually, okay, based on our spirit, based on the word of God. Because the word of God, Jesus said, my word, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? So, this is really the bottom line. We have to see what we really believe. We believe the things that we see, the things that we hear, the physical things, or we believe what the word of God says. Because in some cases, they say really opposite things. And we can have examples in the Bible to see about that, plenty. And we have, and they were reported there for our benefit, so that we can learn from them and we can learn to operate in a spiritual realm rather than the physical realm to affect the physical realm. Okay, so that expands what we have been saying about the our mindset that relates to faith. Okay. Our mindset relates to faith. Before I were telling, okay, you know, we just had to stop praising the Lord, looking at Jesus. The point is, we can do that, and then we stop, and we still remember the stuff of the world. And we have to deal with that. So what they are going to continue that direction, are going to see what the word of God says. Again, you know, look in the mirror. It says that we are in a certain way. Are we continuing that way after we stop looking, or are we going to shift to the way, you know, from our spirit to our senses? You know, many people say that when, you hear the word of God, okay, to start to be effective has to go from your head to your heart. It's the opposite. Okay? When you are born again, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, your heart is okay. Knows all things, is cleaned up and everything else. Your problem is not with your heart. If it's your head. So the problem is not that you had to go to make the word go from your head to your heart, is that the word has to really start affecting your heart so that you start thinking according to that. Because your mind can think different thoughts, opposite thoughts at the same time, or almost at the same time. You can shift one thing to another. You can have, the problem is not faith generally, the problem we have is unbelief. Because unbelief is determined by all the other things that we experience or heard that are negative and they are contrary to the word of God. So there is a conflict in our heart between our beliefs and our unbelief. And because of the conflict, then what we are going to do is one moment, all gunned down and they're ready or going, and the next moment, down the dumps. And what this is what has to see when that is when our mind is renewed, start thinking the way God thinks, and is not affected anymore by the world around us. What people say, what we see, what we hear, what we're going through, whatever. And so we had to strengthen ourselves in our spirit and allow the spirit and the spiritual reality that we're going to see much more in detail this, the spiritual reality that the world reflects and shows us to become predominant in our life. Okay. So, from a result from this one, we have been saying, you know, faith starts seeing things differently from the things you see with your own eyes or with your through your own senses, you hear, receive, and whatever. Okay? You start living in a different world. And the world will look at you and say that you are crazy. They will criticize you. They will ridicule you. They'll think you are a fanatic. They will think everything because they're going to say, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Because to them, what you see, what you believe, where you stand, does not make any sense. Okay? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it was before, it said something interesting. It said, for our light afflictions, you know, that's interesting. You know, for us, what we are going through is really what keeps our eyes on it. You see, that's what affects us mostly. So it's our senses are the things that we respond to more than anything else. And Paul calls it light afflictions, but which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So you see, you have to start re-evaluating things from a value point of view. What is important and what is not important? What is the effect and what is not the effect? You know, there's light affliction that are just for a moment. So the effect, no matter how messed up is, isn't but for a moment. And the fact that there are light affliction means, you know, that there are much worse stuff that can happen. Okay? And the stuff that can happen is not even here. Okay, our senses are not going to pick it up. Okay? So he's working in an eternal weight of glory. So you see there is a component. This thing is kind of help us to move in that direction. Okay? The glory, the magnificence and so on. While we do not look. See, when that happens, when there is this change, when we are able to work toward most exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, that happens while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. So you see, that's talking about our senses right away. You see, we are not relating ourselves to the things that are physical anymore, but we go and relate ourselves to things that are spiritual. Okay? See, what are the things that are not seen? Well, they really, you know, are not just imagination, because just some imagination is just as bad as any other thing. He's talking about really the Word of God and God's promises. Okay, so we look at those things rather than looking at what the world says or what our sensation, our relationship to the world. For these things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you see, that's the impact, the realization, the value, the connection that we have to, the way we value things should be based on the eternal value that they have rather than on the physical value. Are you following me? So, see, faith is trusting God. Faith is believing God's word. So faith looks at what God says rather than the other things. Faith chooses to believe what God said rather than the other things. Hallelujah. Now, the difference, the impact, the difficulty that we have there is that the things that we see are right in front of our nose. And the other one, and we can see them, feel them, and everything else. The other one, we don't. We just choose to look at them. We just choose to see them. We just choose to respond to them. Okay? That's a big training that one has to do. Because one has to train oneself to untrain oneself to do the things that you have been trained all the time. All right? So that's the thing that has to take in place. But we have to remember some things that are important. You know that in this process, you know, we can learn what we choose to look at. We can learn the choices we make. And we can train ourselves to do that. Not only that, but we are not by ourselves in this. See, the Bible says that we have a high priest that has gone through the same thing that we have gone through. And he's interceding for us to the Father. Now, you know, that component is critical and it's important because the high priest is Jesus. And he's interceding, you know, he's asking things the Father for us as we are going through these things. So, I mean, what if there is anybody that has something to the Father, you know, who is more effective than Jesus? All right? So we have an advocate, we have somebody on our side that definitely is somebody that is the best advocate that we can get. All right? We have to realize that he's interceding for us. And as we saw before from the when we were talking about praising, he said when we praise him, he is actually activated in interceding for us. Amen. See, our praises just get him going. See, when we confess him in the world, he confesses us before the Father. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, one of the things that we have to realize at this moment is that faith does not say that the problems aren't real, that we are going through. This is, you know, Christian Science, but not Christianity. Okay. Say, so, well, you know, sin is not real, sickness is not real. That's not true. Just sickness is not real, kill you. Yeah, it's not real. You know, I mean, it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. Okay. So, you know, faith doesn't say that we don't have a problem. Faith deals with the problem and address the problem in a different way. Instead of being controlled by the problem, we take control of the problem. Hallelujah. You see, we just realize that these are nothing but light affliction, the way we were saying before, compared to other things. And so we start operating in faith. We choose not to look at them because they are just temporary and the things that are not seen are eternal. Amen. So we make a choice there. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 4, expands more on this, because we had to realize not to make some mistakes in this area. See, talk about Abraham is an experience. Abraham is the father of faith. He went through everything that he went through so that we can learn some lessons from him. Okay, verse 18 says, Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now, it's interesting, you know, hope, you know, many people talk about faith, talks about hope as a bad thing. But really, it's not. Here you see that he says, you know, contrary to hope. See, from the point, instead of using the word hope, use the word expectation, because that's what really that means. You know, contrary to any expectation, from a physical point of view, that was hopeless. That means you cannot expect it to happen. He was old, his wife was old, they were both old. They were dead from that point of view. For many years. All right? So, there was no way. So, but it's interesting. In contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Now, the word believe is actually pisteo, which actually, you know, a faith. So, he had faith even contrary to any expectation. There is nothing in this physical world, nothing in this physical world that is hopeless for God. With God, all things are possible. So there is not any man that can make a conclusion from their position concerning situations given on the physical senses. God can change anything. Because with God, all things are possible. You see, that's when we had to start realizing that nothing is too far and too far-fetched and too impossible, and we don't need to give up. Now, the only way we give up is because when we know something like that is because, you know, we are overwhelmed by the situation and we are looking at the situation more than we are looking at the word. So the secret is what you look at. Sometimes when the problems are affecting you significantly, it's difficult not to look at them. And so we had to find a way to maybe enable us to look at the word rather than the problem. Okay? So, let me continue reading this because there is a lot of we can learn from this. So, continuing, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what he was spoken, so shall your descendant be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. You see, he just didn't look at that. Okay? Already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. So I mean, through the things that, you know, what we were saying. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So you see, that's the way he was glorifying God. I mean, was praising the Lord. He was confessing the word. He was confessing what God said. He was confessing that he believed what God said. So he was giving glory to God. And he was strengthening faith by doing that. And we're going to see that, you know, how to actually apply that more in detail with other scripture later on. Maybe not today. Probably not quite not today. Okay. Strengthening, being glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able to perform. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, when God made the promise, you had to trust, you had to take that position to believe that he's going to perform that promise because he promised it. Period. Okay. So, well, you know, God talked to him. God talked to you too. The word is God talking to you. He's talking to any believer. If you are a believer, God is talking to you through your word. That's all you need. It's much more than even having a vision, God talking to you, because that can be, you can be making it up. Okay. Was able to perform and therefore was accepted for him as for righteousness. Now it is written not for his sake alone, but was imputed to him, but also for us. Okay. So that we can learn. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead, raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Okay. And was delivered and so on and so forth. So the idea, you see, as we believe in Jesus, this applies to us. Because we are of the same faith of Abraham. Okay. So, the scripture I read before is really, you know, Mark 9:23, that it says, you know, like you, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Okay. All right. Now, the idea is we have to become expert in walking this way. See, we start walking by sight, by faith, not by sight. We, you know, at the beginning, our senses were going to try to control us. And because our senses try to control us, what we are going to do is be controlled. Yeah, they are going to have an influence on us. So at the beginning, our natural reaction is going to be that of responding to our senses. What we have to do is to learn to respond through our spirit and through the word. And at the beginning, it's not going to be natural for us to do that. But as we apply that more and more, we learn to do it spontaneously, without thinking. When that happens without thinking, we are there. See, the level of expertise that we have, you know, when somebody learns something, they had to think to be able to do the right thing. But when you really learn it, you don't think anymore. You just do, and you do the right thing. That's what has to happen when we respond to the world, the environment around us, you know, and we respond in the way that actually line up with the word of God. Okay? All right. So we saw that when we are saved, we have faith. We saw that developing our attitude or mindset of faith is important. Praising is a component, and we can choose yet to be, you know, having a faith mindset, a positive mindset, okay? And then we have to walk by faith and not by sight, okay? Now, the idea, there is something else here, the fact that faith, you know, lots of people say blind faith. Blind faith is wrong mentality and is really worldly idea. Faith sees things. Faith sees the things that are spiritual instead of seeing the things that are physical. So we had to learn to look spiritually. Okay? Faith look for what is unseen and stays there until it becomes seen. Okay? You had to stay there. You know, like, for example, if you see in the area of healing, okay? If you need healing, you have to start believing for healing. You start seeing yourself healed. You start, you know, receiving healing, you know, and by the time you really become an expert in that area, it's not a question anymore of being healed. It's a question of walking in divine health. Because we are naturally there. And the body is going to act in agreement with the word. It's not being healed and getting sick again. And being healed and getting sick again. Okay? That's not God's plan for us. He wants us to live in divine health. Okay? All right. So one of the things that this implies, evidently, that you're going to be sticking out as a sore thumb because nobody in this world is going to think and act that way. Okay? Now, you have to distinguish the difference between truth and facts. The word, Jesus said, my word is truth. There are many places in the Bible that says, you know, the Psalms and so on, you know, says the word is truth. So, when we look at the word, we see the truth. When we look at these physical things, we see facts. You know, if you have a problem, then you see what's there. So you have to distinguish between facts and truth. The thing is, facts are temporary and truth is eternal. So when facts change, then the truth is the things that we have to look at. We say, you know, we're looking at things that are temporary, but things that are eternal. All right. So the idea is we have to learn to do is to look at the truth rather than facts. Okay? Now, there are some other components here that are important and that, you know, has to do with our emotions. Okay? Our emotions are affected. Before we were talking about our attitude. Our component, our attitude, evidently, are the way we emotionally respond to the environment around us. Okay. One of the emotions that is really the opposite of faith, you see, the feeling of faith is peace, is being completely at peace within yourself, being positive, being strong, being everything. The opposite of that is not unbelief. Unbelief is not the opposite of faith. The unbelief is still believing something, but it's believing the wrong thing. Okay, so there's no faith. Really, the opposite of faith is fear. Okay? Because the feeling with that is the fact of that you are afraid, okay, you are not trusting God. See, fear comes from not trusting God's promises. And as you don't trust God's promises, then you're going to be fearful. But that means one thing, that you're really not trusting God. Okay? In 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torture, and by he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So the idea is the love. And when we connect with the love of God, then we are not going to be afraid. If you are afraid, it's because we are not connecting with God's love. So when we had to realize that God is a good Father, that God loves us, that God wants to help us, that God has done everything that He could do to help us, then we can relax and not be fearful, okay? We are not being matured in love when we have faith, when we have fear. And when we have not mature in love, that means that we are not strong enough in the areas that enable us to receive from God. And we have to learn to do that. See, that's what enabled Abraham to consider not his own body, because he trusted God. He trusted, I mean, if you remember, he was doing pretty well where he was from. And he left everything, you know, going with all the family, packed up, tent up, everything, and with all the possession and everything else, start going out. Where? He didn't even know where. He had not really a clear position in which he was going. He was going to a place where God says he was to go. He didn't even have a map. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have any of these things. God told him go, and he picked up and went. Talking about taking a chance. You see why he's the father of faith. I mean, he wasn't perfect. You know, evidently in some places, evidently that he had fears too. He was giving away his wife as his sister. You know, I mean, God had to talk to this heathen king to be able to stop him. Okay, so, I mean, don't tell me that he had made it completely. Nevertheless, you know, he was following what God had told him to do. And but evidently when he was at some places, some critical places, he was crack up. He would crack up. He would just not be able to perform. Are you seeing that? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't think we have time to get more into this, I'm afraid. But I wanted to, you know, just close a bit on this. The importance of overcoming fear with the love of God. To know God's character, to know God's desire, to see God not in the way he's described in religion, like somebody there to trying to get you, but somebody loving you and wanting to help you and having done everything that he could do to help you, having solved all your problems in advance if you just do what he tells him to do. Amen? So that's the way, you see, that's where we end up being stuck, end up being, I don't know what to do here. Trust God. Believe, only believe. That's what Jesus said to the father of the epileptic boy. He said, you know, increase my faith, just only believe. Refuse to look at the situation the way the temporary things tell you. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, well, did you get anything today?
Yes,
all right. Well, we're going to continue on this because there are some things, like, for example, not to look at the things that are seen, you know, that is important. Sometimes, you know, there is wrong ideas about that, wrong ideas about our confession too. So confession is a component of releasing our faith. It is a component of releasing our unbelief. And we had to learn that we had to take charge of what we say and control our mouth. Anyway, Dan will come next week. Let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise and thank you, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, we can come to you, Lord, today, believing, trusting, and, Lord, standing on your word. Lord, you, that we may know that you love us, and the Lord, we can be without fear, because you are our shepherd, and you shall not leave us. And we can have everything that we need from you. We just thank you and praise you. And we give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, for your precious promises. They give us the assurance that we can receive and inherit, Lord, the promises and all the benefits that you have procured for us. We give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, and acknowledge, Lord, that you are our Lord, our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, and everything that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.